Have your Bibles today, would you open them up to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verse 13, and we're going to read down through verse 17 to start off with here today. 2 Timothy 3, 13 through 17. Here the Apostle Paul says, "But evil men," and I want you to notice the word there, "impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work." Brother Terry, would you ask the blessing upon this, brother?
Father, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that indwells in all believers. Lord, we just pray that you instruct us to do what is good and what is pure in your sight. Father, we ask for your anointing now on Pastor Terry as he brings the message of the gospel. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're all about to go into a new year, and that's one of the reasons I want to speak to you about this particular subject, because we need to have our eyes wide open to what's going to be happening here in the next few years. I know that a lot of people think, well, okay, well, that sounds kind of political, Kerry. You know, you're not supposed to be doing that. Well, they can take away our tax-exempt status if they want to. I'm going to share with you the truth this morning because I think that your very souls depend upon it. I think it's important for me to share this with you, if for no other reasons, that you would at least be equipped to be able to share with your loved ones about what a lot of the global elitists have planned to implement in the near future. And very simply put, what they plan on implementing is a one-world government. This plan right now is led by the World Economic Forum, and it's led by a man by the name of Klaus Schwab. Again, he is the one who has come up with a plan entitled The Great Reset. And they have actually set a date in which they wish to accomplish this at 2030. Now, while it's good that we have elected a president who is against globalism, who's a nationalist, we must not be lulled to sleep in thinking that this agenda is going to go away. Amen. I honestly believe much of the chaos that has been generated under the Biden administration was designed to bring about this agenda. Open borders, collapse of the dollar, suppression of individual freedoms, which were witnessed especially during COVID, climate change, all of these are designed to bring about this one world government. And these globalists are masters at psychological manipulation of the populations. Evidence that Joe Biden, for example, is a globalist are clearly seen. The Heritage Foundation shared this about what was probably Joe Biden's last speech to the United Nations. It says, "Joe Biden gave a speech to the United General Assembly that was guaranteed to delight any globalists. Suffused with promises of multinational cooperation, it addressed all the standard progressive pet objects, from climate change to global unity, universal labor, and environmental standards. He even promised to build back the world better," which is a slogan of the EU and the, World Economic Forum. And it said, "to open up the American ATM for still more foreign assistance for everybody." Now, two of the things that the World Economic Forum wants to implement is digital currency. And they also want to have control of the world's money. And they want to have digital IDs to accomplish this. And they want digital IDs for everyone. Not only to know who you are, but where you are, and how loyal you are to this form of government. And they want people to have this even to buy food. and they basically want to take away what you owe and take and redistribute it to other people. They've come up with a slogan, which is actually aired in commercials. The slogan is, "You will own nothing and be happy." There's a fellow by the name of Mark White, who was I believe he was a journalist, that kind of brought our attention to that phrase, you will own nothing and be happy. But this is his response to it. He said, "My question is, if I don't own anything, then who does? Who controls the resources? Well, it seems the most obvious answer is the very people who practically own everything now." And if you look at the members of the World Economic Forum, they're all billionaires. They want you to drive electric cars, but they'll travel all over the world in those big jets. And that must be one of the prerequisites of being a member, is you got to be prone to hypocrisy, you know. Now, members of the World Economic Forum say that when you talk about this, they say, "Oh, that's conspiracy." And they think, "We have well intentions. We want what's good for mankind." Folks, I'm a bit concerned as I've read some of the things that have come out of the World Economic Forum. They claim that any mention of these things are just conspiracy theory. Folks, it isn't conspiracy theory if it's candidly spoken about and explicitly stated in their own meetings at Davos. Again, these millionaires meet together to brainstorm as to how to get more power and control over people. Now, I couldn't help but think about this whenever I saw where they met, Davos. I thought about, wow, Davos, the place where devils meet, right? Because that's exactly where this is coming from. And I'll show you that as we go on. I'm going to show you scripture. They want to control every aspect of your life, and they're suggesting a socialistic government basically on steroids, controlling everything, including what you eat, and they want to do so from the cradle to the grave. And they use climate change as an excuse to force people even into eating insects. Many globalists and progressive news outlets have called, when you talk about this, a right-wing conspiracy theory. But folks, let me read to you from their own website. This is from the World Economic Forum's own website. By 2050, the world food supply will need to feed another 2 billion people. Insect farming for food and animal feed could offer the environmentally friendly solution to the impending food crisis. A source of protein and fertilizer, emerging technologies could help bring insects back into the food system at scale. World populations will reach 9.7 billion people by 2050. This means that despite only 4% of the arable land remaining available on the surface of the planet, an additional 2 billion more humans will have to be fed. In order to address this impending crisis, the world experts and leaders will meet this autumn at the UN Food Summit and then at the CP26. I'm not exactly sure what that is, but often overlooked in these discussions is the potential role insects play in helping meet this challenge. Insects contribute to the biological foundation of our terrestrial ecosystem. They bring organic matter to the earth by decomposing waste, act as pollinators for the reproduction and dispersal of plants and flowers, and are also a source of food for the multitude of animal species, from birds to amphibians to humans. The concept of insect farming is not a new one. Currently, 1.2 trillion insects are raised on farms annually for food and animal feed. The practice has, however, remained almost manual until now. Thanks to new technologies such as artificial intelligence and the Internet of Things, we are at a turning point and finally able to industrialize the breeding of insects in contained environments. Insect breeding is the data-centric eco-industry with a lot of commodities with precision agriculture. Now, the thing is, what you got to understand, what they're really interested in is making more money. That was the thing with COVID, with the vaccines. Do you realize how wealthy Bill Gates became, even more from the vaccines? He owned patents on vaccines and things. That's really what it's all about. The World Economic Forum came up with this idea of the Great Sit because They do not believe that the world is functioning properly. It's not equitable. It's not honoring the planet. It's consuming too much energy and natural resources, so that you know, they want to reset the whole planet, basically replace capitalism with socialism and replace nationalism with one world government. In their minds, they are making all people equal and will bring about a lasting peace. But folks, it will not work because it does not include the Prince of Peace. They want to take away what has been for centuries and make it in their own image. When the COVID attacks outbreak happened, basically every nation was hit. The globalists said this pandemic represents the very crisis needed in order to seize the world governments, in order for them to come together. So essentially, you have this small group of elite globalists telling the rest of the world what to do. And during COVID, it seemed like everybody got on board. Even when it didn't make any sense, people all followed, you know, suit and got in line to do what they wanted them to do. I heard something interesting the other day, and I like this resistance. I saw an interview with a guy by the name of John Rich. How many know who John Rich is? He's a country western singer. Yeah. Anyway, he was he's very conservative. He's very patriotic. He was being interviewed because of his stand against the mask mandate in schools. The school his children went to had sent him a letter and said the kids could go back to school if they masked up. Well, John called them up and said, "My kids are be returning back to school, but they won't be wearing masks." To which the principal said, "Then they can't come here." Well, John didn't take that lying down. He went back to the internet, and he didn't take that as a final answer. And he looked up online what the government sites like the CDC and things like that had to say about masks. And it said that masks were experimental, that they did not stop the virus, only possibly slowed it down. Well, he read that, and then he went to some of the Geneva Convention's writings that said that it was illegal to mandate anything experimental. So he copied all that down, sent it over to the principal, and he included with it what the Geneva Convention said. They said that to break this law was punishable by the penalty of death. So the principal wrote back and sent him an opt-out form. John made copies and sent them to the other parents who were bothered by this mask mandate. And so it ended up that most of the kids didn't have to wear a mask. You see, the only way for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. Don't be lulled to sleep. They're still looking for another crisis, another chaos, so that they can implement even more control over the population. Remember the fellow by the name of Rahm Emanuel, who was advisor to President Obama? He said this. He said, "Don't let a good crisis go to waste." Well, the globalists, they're of that mind. And folks, it is wickedness. They're looking for a crisis and chaos to bring in this one world government. And obviously, these folks are blinded, or just plain ignorant to what the Bible actually has to say about this. We know that there is going to be a man who's going to arise, who's going to control most of the world through a one world government. Remember that there was a man who actually was kind of the chief architect of the EU. He was the former Belgian prime minister. His name was Paul-Henri Spaak. He actually said this in an interview. He said, "We do not want another committee. We have too many already. What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of the people and to lift us out of the economic morass into which we are sinking. Send us such a man, be he a god or devil, we will receive him." Isn't that amazing? You know? And you've got these countries, like, for example, Greece, who have overspent, and their unions, their pensions, and things like that, they're ready to collapse. And one reporter said this: "The present economic crisis facing the European Union simply illustrates the impossibility of creating a unified monetary system without an attendant fiscal and political union to support it and control it, and the divergence between the social, political, and ethnic and economic characteristics of the constituent nations render the union of this nature to be not just impractical, but downright dangerous. And then another reporter actually quoted Woody Allen on this. He said, about the situation in Greece, he said, "More than any other time in history, mankind faces a crossroad, one path that leads to despair and utter hopelessness, and the other to total extinction." So we need to pray, folks, that God would give us wisdom to choose wisely, to choose correctly. The things that have happened in the EU are happening in our country as well. And it's happening to weaken us, to prepare us for someone or something who will come on the scene who seems to have all the answers. Scriptures give us a pretty clear indication of what we're going to see in these last days of human history. But to really understand what's really going on, you have to go back to the very beginning where it all began, and that was in heaven itself, in the rebellion of Satan against God. We get a picture of this in Isaiah 14, verse 12 through 17. It says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mountain of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners?" Now, folks, this is not only something that speaks of the king of Babylon that happened in that day, but it's also prophetic of a time to come. And that's something that we must remember. Satan has always tried to bring about a unity of the nations, bring them together so that he can control them. In the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verse 1 through 9, I believe it gives us an illustration, a snapshot, a picture of that very thing. It says, "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had bricks of stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And so the Lord scattered them abroad from over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, the name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth." So here they say, well, we're going to make a name for ourselves. We're going to have unity. We're going to have unity. And the Lord said, nope, not going to happen. And I asked myself, why? Why did the Lord do this? I think there's a couple of reasons. First of all, God was going to call and use a tiny little nation called Israel, a sovereign little nation called Israel, through which Messiah would come. And even when Israel was scattered to the nations, plural, they never lost their national identity. And one has to ask, was the Tower of Babel Satan's attempt to keep Israel from being a sovereign nation? I think that is a possibility. Another reason is the fact that when man fell, Satan became, the Bible says, the god of this world. In other words, in control of the nations. God did not want the nations to unify for the purpose of thwarting Satan's plan to become like God. Let's look again at verse 6 of Genesis 11. It says, "And the Lord said, indeed the people are one, and they have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them." I find it interesting that when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he told him, he said, if you'll only bow down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. Now, Jesus didn't rebuke him for that. And he didn't rebuke him, even because, you know, even though they really weren't his to give, ultimately. As a matter of fact, Jesus would even call him the ruler of this world, and he would say so several times. Some people say, well, where do you find that in Scripture? Where does he call him the ruler of this world? There's actually three places in the book of John. John 12, 31, Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Who was that? It's Satan, yeah. John chapter 14, verse 30. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. It means that there's no fault in Jesus. There's no way that Satan could lay claim to him. And then in John 16, verse 7 through 11, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment, listen, because the ruler of this world is judged. Because of what Jesus did upon the cross, Satan sealed his doom. Amen? Now, when Jesus returns, he will take possession of the kingdoms of this earth. The kingdoms of this earth are the purchased possession of Jesus right now. He's just waiting to take possession of them. And we find that there's a scripture that actually relates this in Revelation 11, 15. It says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. But for right now, Satan does have these kings, and one day he will offer them to a man. And unlike Jesus, this man will accept that offer. Scripture says they will ultimately form a 10-nation confederation that have one king over them, ruling over them. And he will control essentially everything that goes on in the world. Everything socially, economically, religiously, morally. And eventually he will call all men to worship him, which is Satan's ancient ambition anyway. He will receive that worship through the Antichrist. And so I believe that what we're seeing right now is the infrastructure of this one world government. Again, as I said, Joe Biden's motto when he ran for president was Build Back Better. Again, this was borrowed from the World Economic Forum agenda because they say the same thing. They want to build back the world better. President Trump is a nationalist, and it seems that the last administrations, you know, they really messed things up, I'm telling you, so bad that one has to wonder if they'll ever get back in power to accomplish this global agenda. And I thought a lot about this because I believe that there is something that could precipitate this. The rapture of the church. Amen. The rapture of the church. When the church is removed, there will be no restraining power to keep this from happening. Right. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1 through 12. We're going to read this, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I was listening to a program this morning, and it was like confirmation for me that I needed to share this, because one of the ladies asked the fellow who was speaking, he said, well, why would people accept this? Why would they believe this? It tells you right here, God's going to send strong delusion that people believe a lie. He says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to soon be shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter as from us, as though the day of Christ has come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and that man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Now I want to stop there for just a second, because notice the word there, the falling away. Now a lot of people have interpreted this to mean that the church is going to fall away and what have you. But this can be interpreted too as the catching up. Okay? Think about it. It can be interpreted both ways. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits in as God in the temple of God, knowing that he is God. Incidentally, you know, that's one of the things that this Antichrist is going to do. He's going to create a covenant between Israel, no doubt, and probably Hamas and what have you, or those who are involved with the Temple Mount site. And they're going to rebuild that temple. They're all set to rebuild that temple. Matter of fact, they've got the red heifers. They got several red heifers, and two of them are kosher. They can be used for the purpose of cleansing the temple. And so everything is staged. It's all in place. So that's why I say, keep your eyes open. It says that he opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God. Remember what Satan's purpose was in the very beginning in Isaiah? He sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. Notice it says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who restrains will do so until he be taken out of the way. Who is the he? It's the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's the Holy Spirit that's within the church. When the church is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not believe the love of the truth, which is the word of God, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So indeed, all this could be accomplished by 2030, if that were to happen. People often ask about America, and where's America in prophecy? Truth is, the Bible seems to be silent concerning America. And so you have to ask yourself, why? America still is a superpower right now. Will America still be a superpower in the end times? America has been a great superpower in the 20th century. We've done a lot of good. We've been a real ally to Israel, and we have spread the gospel throughout the world. Did you know that 90% of the gospel that's gone out into the world went out in the world because of America? That's the truth. Yet America right now is committing slow suicide. We're imploding from within morally, economically, socially, and culturally in just about every way that you can think of. And that's, I think, especially because of this so-called wokeism in America, this agenda of wokeism. So it really is darkening times in Western civilization. And because of that, I think one of the reasons America isn't mentioned here, is just because we have just come to nothing, much like the Roman Empire did, you know. They just, you know, weren't defeated by anybody. They were defeated by their own rot from within. So, what's going to happen to America? I think that America will just simply collapse because of all the things that are designed right now to cause her to collapse. And we will either be absorbed into another country or some other form of, you know, allies and things like that of other nations in order to be one of the 10 nations confederacy who are aligned with Antichrist. Now, I know that this is hard to hear, and so I know I've shared a lot of bad news, but I want to give you some good news, okay? The good news is Jesus' death and resurrection provides for you and I our own individual reset. You don't need that stuff. You just need Jesus. And it's yours if you choose it. But not only that, at the end of days, God the Father is going to have the ultimate reset. Amen. He will create this world anew. Amen? Revelation 21, verse 1 through 7 says, "And I saw the new heaven and the new earth, and for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." I love that, don't you?
Amen.
And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." In other words, if you're thirsty right now, he's willing to give you it. "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Now that's what you can hope in. You put your faith and trust in Christ. You can be reset. Amen? But if you choose what the world is wanting to do, and to reset the world in their image, in their form, in closing, I just want to share with you some of their ideas that they've come up with for this reset in 2030. First of all, we've already mentioned it. You'll own nothing and be happy. And whatever you want, you'll rent, and it will be delivered to you by drones. The U.S. will no longer be the world's leading superpower. A handful of countries will dominate. You won't die waiting for organ donors. I mean, we sit here and we say, "Cool, that sounds good, that sounds fine." But listen to what this says next. We don't transplant organs, we print new ones. You'll eat less meat. It'll be an occasional treat, not a staple, for the good of the environment and our health. And billions of people, unfortunately, will be displaced by climate change. Climate change is a ruse just to fool people into this. We'll have to do a better job at welcoming and integrating refugees. Polluters will have to pay to emit carbon dioxide. There will be a global price on carbon. This will help make fossil fuels history. I wonder if they will make themselves exempt. You could be preparing to go to... Oh, this one's really crazy. You could be preparing to go to Mars. Scientists will have worked out how to keep you healthy in space. It's the start of a journey to find alien life. Now, these are billionaires. They're coming up with these things. Western values will have been tested to the breaking point. Checks and balances that underpin our democracies must not be forgotten. So again, they claim to be building the world back better, but again, this is man's attempt to reset. And I don't know about you, but I choose to follow God's reset. And very plainly, this is the result of God's reset. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new."
Amen.
We can't be lulled to sleep, folks. These people have an agenda, and again, it is born out of the pit of hell. 1 Thessalonians 5, 3-10 says, "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as a labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are sons of the light and sons of the day. You are not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore," now this is the one verse you need to come away with, and I hope this puts a little peace and joy in your heart. "Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing." God wants you to have a peace. He wants you to have a comfort in knowing that he's coming someday for his own. But this world is going out, and it's going out in the blaze of religion. It's going out in the blaze of government and basically Satan's agenda. So what I'm saying is these guys have not changed their tactics. They are still looking for some new chaos to come along so that they can exploit it for their cause. The World Economic Forum isn't ran by some small city chamber of commerce, you know, whose leaders own the local grocery store or a gas station. These are billionaires who, if they wanted to, almost single-handedly could alleviate a lot of the world's suffering right now with their wealth. But they don't. And my opinion is that they don't care about people as they claim. They are, as it said, imposters. Their aim is to make themselves even richer, and frankly, I do not see any evidence to the contrary to that. Remember the scripture I read, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3, verse 13. And then remember 1 Timothy 6 and 10. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And I think that's at the root of this global government. And I think that they are going to be deceived into giving their allegiance to the wicked one. We need to have our eyes wide open. Amen. And not give in to any of that agenda at all. At all. All right, let's bow our heads.